what a day. What a lovely day for a podcast. And we've got just the one for you now. It's Film Bookcast, the official podcast of filmbook.com. My name is Mike Smith, and joining me as always is a man who I would carry through the gates of Valhalla myself.
Mike DiCruccio.
Basically, thanks, Mike. Yeah, totally. Basically, if you've never listened to an episode of Film Bookcast before, essentially we begin by talking about some film news, then we move on into our discussion segment of the show, in which Mike and I discuss whatever piece of media we've been consuming lately. And then finally, we will move on into our featured review. This week we are reviewing Mad Max Fury Road, the latest film from director George Miller, and the fourth film in his Mad Max franchise. Now, with all that said, let's kick off the show. First, we have sort of an announcement, Mike.
Yeah. This is big news. I'm excited for it.
This is pretty wild. We're about to embark on a journey, people. So Mike and I have been kicking around a podcast idea, a new podcast idea, because we already have a podcast, but this is a new one.
A whole nother podcast.
We are going to be hosting two podcasts for filmbook.com, and one of them will be this one, Film Bookcast, your, you know, usual source for all movie news and trivia and wackadoo entitlements. And then...
Smooth.
And then, starting next week, we will be hosting a podcast called The Complete Works. Now, what The Complete Works is, we had an idea to bring together a team of extraordinary people to fight the battles that we ourselves never could. That's not true. That's a line from The Avengers. our idea was not that. Our idea was to look at an actor's career, one that's very long and diverse and has many different parts, and we thought about several different actors who had these long careers, and we thought it would be interesting to go through the entire career of an actor film by film and analyze what their performances are like, how they evolve over time, and so on and so forth. We kicked around a lot of names. Samuel L. Jackson was bandied about, Clint Eastwood, all these people, but one name that kept coming back to us and that we are going to focus our podcast on is the man himself, Nicolas Cage.
The one true god.
The one true god, Nicolas Cage. So I'm very excited about this. Mike, are you ready to journey into the world of Nicolas Cage?
I don't know if we're ever going to actually catch up to him, because he makes like 1,000 movies a year. But we're going to try.
For every podcast that we come out with for one of his movies, he will come out with two more movies.
Yeah,
he's
exactly.
Like a Hydra.
Basically. Yeah, I'm excited to begin in a promising career and end in insanity. So this will be a lot of fun.
Yes, I'm excited. Nicolas Cage, one of my favorite actors. And so it'll be cool for me to go through his entire filmography, just to see the many facets of Nicolas Cage.
Yes, the many faces.
Yes. So that's our new podcast. It'll be coming out probably next week. Also, some other sort of news. I will no longer be podcasting about Arrow or The Flash for film.
No!
So I will still be doing The Walking Dead, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Agent Carter, and Gotham. But I needed to lighten my load a little bit, because the TV podcasts, it was like six at a time. It was insane.
That's nuts.
So just a little bit of that. But in any case, that's all of our announcements this week. So for now, let's move on. Why don't we move on, Mike? Do you want to move on?
Yeah, we can move on.
All right. I'm asking your permission to move on.
Permission granted.
Okay, well, thank you. So let's move on into our film news for the week. We've got a few items to talk about. It's been a couple weeks since we've recorded a film bookcast, so we've got some old news here that we wanted to discuss. But first of all, I think the big one is the cast of Captain America Civil War.
Is all of the people ever been in a movie?
Exactly. Everyone who's ever started a movie in the last 50 years.
Ever.
Is in this movie somewhere, except for Thor and the Hulk.
I forgot about them. You're right.
Yeah. But so, Mike, I'm going to list off the entire cast as we know it so far of Captain America Civil War, which is filming now. Chris Evans will be reprising his role as Captain America. Robert Downey Jr. will be reprising his role as Tony Stark / Iron Man. Scarlett Johansson, Anthony Mackie, Jeremy Renner, Sebastian Stan, Paul Bettany, Elizabeth Olsen, Paul Rudd, Emily Van Camp, Frank Grillo, William Hurt, Chadwick Boseman, Daniel Brühl, Martin Freeman.
That's the best one.
Yeah, nobody knows who he's playing yet, but he is in the movie somewhere.
It's going to be amazing. Wait, is William Hurt coming back as the guy from The Hulk?
Yes. William Hurt is reprising his role from The Incredible Hulk as General Thaddeus Thunderbolt Ross.
So that movie exists in, the universe.
Yeah, Marvel spent so much time pretending that movie doesn't exist, and now William Hurt is doing the same role, so now it's like that movie exists again. It's weird.
Wow. That's awesome, though. I'm so excited. I can't wait for this movie.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I think the Russos are going to do an awesome job. It's basically... But with that cast, I feel like... I wanted a Captain America 3.
Yeah.
You know? And I feel like what we're going to get is, like, Avengers 2.5.
Basically.
Because at the end of Winter Soldier, there's so much you can work with. You know, you can basically do an entire movie just on them searching for Bucky. You know?
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. You could do that.
And this is decidedly not going to be that, although Bucky will be in the movie.
Yeah.
But this will involve, spoilers for Avengers 2, but this will involve the entire new Avengers team that Captain America puts together at the end of that movie.
Yeah.
So Paul Bettany, Elizabeth Olsen, Anthony Mackie, and Don Cheadle.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I'm excited, though. I'm kind of glad that it's not, the hunt for Bucky. Like, that would be cool, but I'm kind of glad that's going to happen off-screen.
Yeah.
There's, like, way more stuff I think they could do. Or more explodey stuff. And I feel like that's what's going to happen.
More explodey stuff. But yeah, no, I'm looking forward to Civil War. I think it's going to be awesome. The Russos did an awesome job on Winter Soldier, and theoretically they will do an awesome job here. I hope they do, because they're also directing Avengers Infinity War Parts 1 and 2. So
I was going to say, this is going to be a good test run for they can handle a huge ensemble cast.
That's true.
And yes, hopefully they do.
Yeah. In our Avengers review, I expressed trepidation that Joss Whedon was leaving the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So I think if the Russos can handle Civil War and handle it well, then, you know, we have good things to look forward to. I'm really excited that Paul Rudd's in this movie, actually.
Yeah, I just want him to be everywhere.
Oh, you know, that's true, yeah. But, you know, after, like, I knew he was playing Ant-Man, but I was almost under the impression that Marvel was going to be, like, they would release Ant-Man, but then they would pretend it wouldn't exist.
Right.
Much like they used to do with The Incredible Hulk.
Exactly.
Just because of the whole Edgar Wright thing, and, like, it seems like it's so far removed from, the rest of the universe. So it's cool that Paul Rudd is coming back.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, this would be cool.
Yes, and we discussed William Hurt coming back, which is a pretty weird and cool little thing. Chadwick Boseman will be making his debut as Black Panther in this movie.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So there's that. That's and cool. Supposedly, it's still not confirmed yet who's playing Spider-Man, but they can still work him in there.
I think it's, isn't it? It's Asa Butterfield is the rumor, right?
That's like the top choice right now, yeah.
I'm down. He's cool.
Yeah, I don't know.
As far as
Spider-Man casting goes, Asa Butterfield is the one that makes me kind of shrug my shoulders the most.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm like, all right, yeah, sure.
It's like, yeah, that makes sense. I just want to know who Martin Freeman is. Like,
yeah,
he's. I'm so happy that he's in this.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. But let's move on from that.
Okay,
and let's discuss the next piece of film news, which is a dual piece.
A duo
of film news. Two things.
That's what that means.
Yes. So the first one, Josh Trank, director of Chronicle and the upcoming Fantastic Four movie, was supposed to be directing the upcoming Star Wars spinoff that would come out after Star Wars Episode 8. They recently announced what that movie is. It's a Boba Fett origin story.
Oh, God.
But Josh Trank is no longer involved in the Boba Fett origin story. He has left the project.
R.I.P. his career.
Well, that's the thing. Like, it seems like lately there's been a lot of stories about directors backing out of projects.
Yeah, that's true.
Out of studio projects. Like, Edgar Wright left Ant-Man, Michelle MacLaren left Wonder Woman, now Josh Trank has left the Star Wars spinoff, and also Cary Fukunaga, who has directed such films as Sin Nombre,
True Detective Season 1.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of. He was supposed to be directing a remake of It, the Stephen King novel, and slash miniseries starring Tim Curry. And now he has also left the project, supposedly due to creative differences, studio interference.
That's the new one.
Yeah. So both of these are kind of disheartening. I think Josh Trank has a really promising career ahead of him, or at least he did.
Yeah, we'll find out, I guess.
Yeah, well, I think it depends on how Fantastic Four turns out. But from what I've heard, like, people who worked on Fantastic Four with him were also working on him with Star Wars, and like reportedly he was very difficult to work with, or like he was very disorganized or didn't really know what he was doing.
Right.
So I don't really know. I think
is Chronicle the only movie he made before Fantastic Four?
Yeah.
Oh.
It was just Chronicle. Okay. He was 27 when he came out with Chronicle.
Wow.
So he was very young.
Yeah. So I mean, it's possible that he has no idea what he's doing.
That's true. But I was still eager to see his Star Wars idea, because I think he's a really promising young director. And so him leaving the spinoff is a little disheartening. But I think we'll figure it out. I'll figure out whether it's a good thing or a bad thing that he left once Fantastic Four comes out, and I can see.
That's what I was going to say. I'm excited for Fantastic Four, but I guess I could kind of go either way. So right now, so I guess we'll see how that is, and then I'll be mad or not mad that he's not making Star Wars anymore.
Exactly. Yeah. And Cary Fukunaga. In that case, it seemed like the studio wanted like a straight horror movie, and Fukunaga was going to deliver some beautiful, poetic, you know, masterpiece. And,
yeah.
And of course, they didn't go for it.
And they didn't want any of it.
Yeah. So apparently, I heard it compared to, like, his vision of It was compared to, like, The Shining, like Stanley Kubrick's The Shining.
Whoa.
Which, yeah, we'll never get to see that. So, thanks, studio.
Good job.
I mean, honestly, like, It is a... I've never read the book It, but I've seen the miniseries, and I'm not really a fan.
I haven't seen it in a long time. I remember seeing it as, like, a little kid, or not a little kid, but, like, when I was way younger, and it scared the shit out of me.
Really?
But I haven't seen it since then, so I don't really remember.
Okay.
Like,
I mean, I saw
maybe it's not scary.
I saw it years ago. I just remember thinking it was really silly.
Fair enough.
But you know, that's a couple of directors leaving their projects.
Yeah.
So you know, it's the way
Same
it goes. But let's talk about a director who is going to be directing a project. Robbie Rodriguez will be directing a Johnny Quest movie. So
that sentence is like one of the best sentences ever said. Like what?
Yeah. I mean, Robert Rodriguez has done like kiddie stuff in the past. He did all the Spy Kids movies.
I was going to say, which is connected to the Machete universe, which is hilarious.
Yes, that's true. And I guess apparently the studio has been trying to do a Johnny Quest movie for a long time.
Wow.
Apparently in 2010, there was one that was close to being made that was going to have Zac Efron as Johnny Quest and The Rock as
oh my god,
as his dad Bron or something. I'm not a big Johnny Quest fan. I do not know these characters' names. But I know you're a big fan of the Venture Brothers.
The Venture Brothers, yeah, that's specifically Johnny Quest. But
but
yeah, this is amazing. This is, I hope it is just like goofy and campy. Like I'm sure it will be, knowing Robert Rodriguez.
I think it would have to be.
Yeah.
Less Than Jake, the ska band, has a song called Johnny Quest Thanks for Sellouts. And the first thing I saw after this news came out, like the first tweet, was I hope this movie finally answers the question about whether Johnny Quest thinks Less Than Jake are sellouts.
Only if Less Than Jake does the soundtrack.
Now that would be, I would see that movie. I would see that movie five times.
You would have to see that movie.
So I just wanted to bring that up because I thought it was a weird bit of directorial oddness.
Yeah.
And plus, I know you're a big fan of Venture Brothers, so maybe this will result in, like, what's the equivalent of Robert Rodriguez? I guess Quentin Tarantino. Quentin Tarantino directing a Venture Brothers movie.
Oh my god. That'd be amazing. Venture Brothers is, like, one of the best TV shows ever. In case you're wondering.
Okay. Yeah. I have not gotten to watch it yet, but I will, it's on my list. It's one of the things I'm working on. All right, but I think we can move on from our film news segment.
Yes.
And we can move on into our discussions. So, Mike, what did you have to discuss with us today?
So, I found a documentary on Netflix. It's called The Other One, The Long Strange Trip of Bob Weir. So, Bob Weir is the other songwriter, singer, guitarist from The Grateful Dead. So this is about, you know, whenever someone hears about The Grateful Dead, they immediately think Jerry Garcia, which makes sense, you know.
Sure.
He was the front man, I guess. But this one's all about just Bob Weir's life, him growing up in California, and how he met Jerry Garcia. So it's directed by Mike Fleiss, who is actually a TV producer. Like, he's produced, like, his IMDb thing is, like, 1,000 entries long for, like, random TV shows, and The Bachelorette, I think, is the biggest one that he produces. But he directed one other movie called God Bless Ozzy Osbourne. So he's only made two music documentaries as a director. And it's a Netflix original documentary, which is cool. Netflix is doing big things with their original content now. So it's I mean, it's nothing crazy. It's not like a whole groundbreaking documentary, but if you're into or interested in The Grateful Dead and, like, the 60s and that type of music, it was really insightful, I think, because you never hear about Bob Weir's life or anything. It's always Jerry Garcia gets all the focus. So if people are interested in that, check it out.
Cool. Yeah, that sounds like a cool movie. Netflix is actually coming out with a lot of original like documentaries lately. Which is cool. I know they had Mitt, the Mitt Romney thing.
Fair enough.
And I can't think of any others, but they did. They definitely had other original documentaries. And there's been some cool rock documentaries, too. There's a new Kurt Cobain one that's supposed to be really good.
Montage of Heck?
I think that's it. I think that just aired on HBO.
Yeah, that was an HBO documentary.
Yes. So, a lot of cool stuff. All right.
What's your discussion, Meg?
My discussion is a movie called Monkey Business. It's from 1952, directed by Howard Hawks. And Howard Hawks is one of the most, like, diverse and interesting careers of, like, any director that's ever worked.
I was going to make a joke and be like, oh, who can forget Howard Hawks? But apparently people actually remember
him. Yeah, no, he's a... Come on, man.
I'm dropping the ball.
Learn your film history.
I guess so.
Among his work is To Have and Have Not, His Girl Friday, the original Scarface, The Big Sleep, Gentlemen Prefer Blondes, Rio Bravo.
He's like a real person.
Oh, yeah. He's, you know, really long, interesting career as a director. I did a lot of stuff in noir, in screwball comedy, in westerns. Mm-hmm. And this is one of his screwball comedies, Monkey Business. It's not as good as a lot of his other ones.
Fair enough.
It's sometimes really funny, and other times it's, like, incredibly weak. There's long stretches where it's very boring. But the film stars Cary Grant and Ginger Rogers, who are really good together. They're really funny together as, like, a couple. Marilyn Monroe is also in this movie, and she's pretty funny. The climax of this movie is really funny. But essentially the plot of this movie is that Cary Grant plays a scientist who develops a serum that allows you to get younger, or act younger, anyway. And so, like, he takes it and turns and becomes, like, a teenager. He's still Cary Grant, but he's acting like a teenager, like a crazy, wild teenager.
All right.
And then Ginger Rogers does the same thing, and happens over and over until, like, the end where... I don't want to spoil it for this movie that's 60 years old, but...
Yeah, don't ruin it, man.
But at the end, it looks... there's a classic mix-up.
Yep.
And
comedy of errors.
And Cary Grant... Ginger Rogers believes that Cary Grant has accidentally turned into a baby. So the idea itself strains credulity.
All right, yeah.
And actually, Howard Hawks himself was actually not a big fan of this movie. As I was researching it, he thought the idea, like, doesn't work. Like, he doesn't think it makes sense.
Yeah.
But there are some very funny scenes. The opening scene in this movie is terrific. It's very meta.
Is it?
Because the opening scene of this movie, it's like the credits in front of a doorway.
Okay.
And, like, it's just, like, credits are rolling. And then about halfway through the credits, the doorway opens and Cary Grant's there. And you hear Howard Hawks, like... from off screen saying, "Not yet, Cary." And then he closes the door. And then, like, a few more credits go by and he opens the door again. And you hear Howard Hawks again saying, "Not yet, Cary."
That's amazing.
Yeah. There was some very funny scenes. I think it's worth watching if you're a Howard Hawks fan. There are better, he has better screwball comedies out there.
Yeah.
Like His Girl Friday or Jump for Blondes. Like, either of those are probably a better bet.
It'll be a better choice than this one.
Yes. But in any case, that's our discussions for the week. And so, let's move on, Mike. Let's move on into our review of Mad Max Fury Road.
In this wasteland, I am the one who runs from both the living and the dead. A man reduced to a single instinct.
survive.
It is by my hand! You will rise! From the ashes of this world! Taking them! I want them back! They're my property!
Oh, what a day! What a lovely day!
That was from the trailer for Mad Max Fury Road. It's the latest film from director George Miller. It stars Tom Hardy, Charlize Theron, Nicholas Hoult, Hugh Keyes Byrne, Rosie Huntington-Whiteley, Riley Koo, Zoe Kravitz, Abby Lee, Courtney Heaton, and Josh Ellman, among several others who you will not be able to recognize because they're heavily in makeup. And it's awesome.
Yes. But yeah, it's great. It's like actual makeup.
Yeah. This is George Miller's first live-action film since 1998 with Babe, Pig in the City. and this is the first Mad Max film in 30 years since Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome. So, Mike, before we begin, let's discuss the Mad Max series. Or specifically, how do you feel about the Mad Max series up to this point, the first three films?
I guess I don't really have an opinion. Like, I've seen Road Warrior, but I haven't seen any of them in, like, a long time.
Okay.
Or since I, like, became aware of movies as a thing, like, critically. So there were fun action movies. I saw the Road Warrior first, and then I don't think I've seen Thunderdome, but they're a good action movies to me, which is fun, so.
Okay. Yeah, I actually rewatched the Mad Max movies leading up to Fury Road. The first one, I think, is fine. There's great action scenes in that movie, but there's a long stretches of time where nothing really happens, and it's kind of just, like, a lot of that movie is just Mel Gibson being happy with his family, and like, which is not that interesting to watch. But and he doesn't even get mad until, like, the last three quarters of the movie, or, like, the last quarter of the movie. So the first one has some very good action scenes, but I think it's generally speaking, that's not the one I would watch. The Road Warrior is amazing. That's a really great movie, just from beginning to end. That's just a lot of fun. And then Thunderdome is really silly, but it's enjoyable.
That's like the most 80s of them.
Yeah, it's one with Tina Turner.
Oh, that's right. Oh, my God.
Yeah. So, you know, I've enjoyed the Mad Max series, but I don't think I really appreciated George Miller's talents until I saw Mad Max Fury Road. I mean, this is a movie that is non-stop, like, adrenaline-fueled insanity.
And it's beautiful.
Yeah.
All the way through.
Yeah, this movie looks amazing. A lot of people pointed this out, but this movie takes place in, like, a dystopian future. And the current trend in dystopian future movies is to make it all really, like, bleak and, like, gray.
Yeah.
You know, and everything's, like, washed out and, like, saturated.
And grimdark.
Grimdark, exactly. And this movie is one of the most colorful movies I've seen in years. Like, there's so much vibrancy to what's going on in this movie that we haven't really seen in dystopian future movies a lot lately. You know, it's all it's all dystopian futures are all like the Book of Eli now. You know, it's all like this this very gray, like, cloudy world.
Yeah, that's perfect. I never thought of that actually.
But yeah,
here, like, the sun's out.
Yeah, exactly. The sun's out for a good majority of this movie. Like, things are happening during the daytime.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So I think, Mike, what did you think of Mad Max Fury Road?
I didn't know I needed this, but I'm glad that I have it now. And I want it forever. Like, movies need to try to be this for all eternity. I saw a thing too that was interesting. I don't remember where it was, but comparing Fury Road and John Wick, saying that now hopefully this might be the advent of like the one sequence action movie, where Fury Road is effectively an hour or 2 hours of a car chase, and John Wick is like an hour and 45 minutes shootout with stuff in between.
So, that's true.
Yeah, and I'm down. I want that to happen.
Yeah, this Fury Road is basically like the last 30 minutes of the Road Warrior, but just the entire time.
Forever.
And it's awesome. Yeah, I really love this movie. I don't think I've seen like this incredible, like deranged sense of imagination on display in a really long time. Like there's so much more personality in Fury Road than there is in most blockbusters that have come out in the last like several years.
Absolutely.
And I think a lot of that is, you know, George Miller has not made a live action film since Babe, Pig in the City. And he hasn't made an action movie, I don't think, since Thunderdome.
Yeah.
You know, and so a lot of this movie is just like him throwing every idea he's had in the last 30 years.
I was going to say, it seems like he's been trying to get this movie made since Babe, Pig in the City.
Yeah, and the thing is, he actually has.
Yeah, which is crazy.
There was a time when Mel Gibson was supposed to star in this movie, like years ago. And this movie actually started filming, I want to say in like 2008. Like,
what?
Yeah, this movie was filming for a really long time.
Wow, that's crazy.
And so, yeah, there's so much passion, so much like that's brought to this screen. And it pays off because this movie is like, it's unreal.
Yeah.
How good this movie is.
In the Slash film cast, Jeff Kanata compares it to The Matrix, I think. And he said, his thought basically is that there's, you know, rarely or every, you know, 10, 15 years or so, there's a movie that comes out that defines that genre for the future. And The Matrix defined action movies for the last 10, 15 years since that came out. And he hopes that now Fury Road will be that for the next 10 years.
That's interesting, yeah. Let's talk about some of the cast members in this movie. Tom Hardy replaces Mel Gibson as Max Rockatansky.
I had no idea that he had a last name, and then that was his last name.
Yeah, Rockatansky.
It's amazing.
And Tom Hardy is good in this movie for what he has to do. It's a very physical role, and I think he's very good at that. Thing mm-hmm. is, like, Max says maybe, like, 30 words in this movie.
Yeah, like, this is... Like, Mad Max is the second character.
Yeah, not even the second character, he's like the fifth.
Yeah, that's true.
Really, this movie is Charlize Theron's, who plays Imperator Furiosa. She is amazing in this movie.
Oh my god.
As is Nicholas Hoult, who plays Nux.
He's great.
Both of them kind of steal the movie from Tom Hardy in many ways. Tom Hardy is very good, and he's like... Yeah, Tom Hardy's a great actor, like, in general.
Yeah.
Like, I think he's awesome. Watch Bronson and see, like... the majesty that is a Tom Hardy great performance.
That he can do, yeah.
But here, he spends a good chunk in the movie with a mask, like, covering up his face.
Yeah, again.
Again, you know, much like Bane.
Yeah.
And then, you know, later, it's mostly him doing action scenes, which is cool, because, like, the action scenes are awesome.
They're phenomenal.
But Charlize Theron and Nicholas Hoult really get the dramatic meat of this story. And they do it really well. I think Charlize Theron's Furiosa is going to be, like, an iconic character for a lot of people, I think.
Yeah, she's pretty... I mean, she is amazing as Furiosa.
Yeah.
I hope she needs to... She's been in action movies before, I think. But this, I think, is a great example of a strong female character that, like, we've been needing in action movies.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, this is a... Like, something that's thrown a lot of people off. Like, this is like a... highly feminist action movie, which we don't really get a lot of, but we should get more of, you know?
Yeah, I agree. And it's, I mean, and there's a huge response to that. Like, there's people have been praising this movie for it, so hopefully...
That's part of the huge critical acclaim of this movie. Really, this movie's critical acclaim is, like, unparalleled for movies in a really long time.
It's pretty crazy.
I think it has, like, a 98 on Rotten Tomatoes. Which is probably the first blockbuster to do that since, like, Toy Story 3.
Wow.
And I think a big part of that is, like, that it's a hugely feminist movie. Most of the cast members in this movie are women fighting back against the evil men. The evil man, by the way, Immortan Joe, is played by Hugh Keyes Byrne, who was the villain in the first Mad Max movie. So, fun trivia, he played the toe cutter.
Okay, interesting. Yeah.
So I was throwing that out there. That, like, he's the villain in both of these movies.
I like it.
Yeah.
Symmetry.
Exactly. It's all coming together.
Yeah.
And also, Rosie Huntington-Whiteley is in this movie. And she was in Transformers 3. She was the Megan Fox replacement in Transformers 3.
Oh, yeah, 3. That's right.
And then I assumed I would never see her again.
Right, go away.
But now she's in this movie, too, which is cool.
And she's actually pretty good. Like,
she's one of the main cast members in this movie. She's like...
she's the main wife, right?
Yeah, the pregnant one. The pregnant wife. I forgot her name.
I don't know. I don't know if we got a name for them.
That's true. A lot of these characters don't really have... or the names aren't even relevant. Like, they're just kind of... they just kind of exist in this crazy world.
Yeah. And that's the thing, too, about this... that makes this movie... like, the action and the, like, cinematography and everything is beautiful, but, like, the world building...
yeah.
For this is phenomenal.
Yeah, there's so much stuff that, like, goes unexplained, but it's basically, like, you don't need it to be explained. It's just kind of, like, set dressing for the world.
Exactly. You know? And so much of it comes out in the middle of an action scene.
middle of an action scene, or, like, in one of the first scenes in this movie, there's, like, a scene where Immortan Joe is, like, walking around, and he's in this giant room, and it's a room of, like, six different women, like, pumping their breast milk.
Yeah.
And it's such, like, a weird sight, but it like, defines this world so perfectly.
Yeah, it's pretty insane.
But, yeah. Let's talk about Nicholas Holt's character, because I thought he was amazing.
Yeah.
As Nux, who was originally working for Immortan Joe, was originally a bad guy and converts over...
Spoilers.
Spoilers. okay, we'll talk about Nicholas Holt in spoilers section.
Well, we could talk about the War Boys in general, which is what he is.
That's true. We can talk about that. They're very cool.
Yeah, they're insane. They're like skeletal facial scars that they give themselves and stuff.
Disfigured, weird stuff. But yeah, they add a lot to this world. There's so much visual style to every person in this world.
Yeah.
You know, it's stuff like in the original Lord of the Rings trilogy, the armies would always be like, they would have like a full army of people. Like, they wouldn't use CGI.
Yeah.
Not like The Hobbit. They would like...
Yeah, exactly.
They would have like a full army of people, and each person would have like a definitive armor thing that they would have. Or each person would have like a specific thing for that one person. Stuff that you may not even see on screen, but everybody had it.
Everyone's there, yeah.
Yeah, and I think it helped in making that world come alive. And I think that the same thing happens in this movie. There's a lot of that stuff like that. Like, people just kind of like...
all the War Boys look vaguely similar. Like, they all have the black top of their, top of their heads painted black and everything. But they all have... So that dude's got the staples in his cheeks, like, with the Joker scars.
Yes. Yeah.
And, like, Nux has, like, the tip of his nose cut, sort of.
Yes.
To look like a skeleton.
They all look similar, but they all have, like, defining characteristics that make them, like, individual people.
Exactly.
Is what I was trying to say. And another thing about this movie, this almost entirely practical stunts that they're doing. It's all practical action scenes.
It's the coolest
shit ever. Yeah, like, there is CGI in the movie. Like, that's, I think people have, like, overstated that there's not, like, any...
You're right. Yeah,
but, there is, but it's in service of the action, in service of the practical stunts, which I think is why this movie works so well.
And it's really tough to determine what is CGI and what's not, which the backlash to CGI is that it breaks the immersion of the movie, and in this it doesn't, because a lot of times I can't tell which is CGI and what's practical.
That's true. Yeah, and also what I liked about this movie. It felt like it was one and done, you know?
Okay.
There was no larger universe to connect it to.
That's true.
You know, it felt like, it is the fourth film in a franchise, but it felt very disconnected. Like, each Mad Max movie feels like it could stand on its own. You know, you don't need to have seen the first three Mad Maxes to enjoy Fury Road. And likewise, you don't need to see Fury Road to finish the story of the first three Mad Maxes.
Right.
And in modern film, like, blockbusters, a lot of times everything will be leading into another thing.
Yeah.
You know? Especially, like, I love the Marvel movies, but a lot of times, like, you know, it'll linger and, like, be like, oh, you can find out what happens to this character in this movie. Or, like, that kind of thing.
Exactly.
And that works for Marvel. Like, that works for their stuff. I'm just kind of used to like reading comics and having that be what happens. But
right.
like it seems like almost every franchise is doing that now, and it's not something that works all the time. Like
right.
Prometheus, Prometheus kind of just ends and be like, "Well, we'll see you all again in Prometheus 2."
Yeah, can't wait. Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, so I like this is just kind of like a one and done thing. And George Miller has talked about doing more Mad Maxes with Tom Hardy. And yeah. I hope he does, because Fury Road is awesome.
Yeah. But I hope he does more of this.
Exactly.
It would be amazing.
But yeah, so do you have anything to add, Mike, before we move on to spoilers?
No, I think we summed up pretty well.
Okay, so I think we're both agreed, Fury Road, it's a hell of a time.
Yeah, phenomenal.
This summer has been awesome, I think, so far. Or 2015 for blockbusters. So far, we've had Furious 7.
Okay.
Avengers 2. Fury Road. And also Kingsman came out.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Kingsman. I forgot about that.
Yeah. So I think this summer is shaping up to be a really good one. I've heard mixed things about Tomorrowland, which I do want to see. And apparently San Andreas is really bad. But...
Oh, man, I thought that was going to be the next Fury Road. I thought that was going to be the one.
But there's a lot of really positive reactions to Inside Out, the new Pixar movie.
Oh, yeah.
And so...
Still got Ant-Man.
Still got Ant-Man, which I think will be a fun time. And, you know, you never know how Jurassic World or Terminator Genesis could shake out.
Oh, God, I forgot about those.
I think, just in terms of blockbusters, I think Furious 7, Avengers 2, and Fury Road are some of the best we've gotten in a long time.
Yeah.
And so I am pleased as punch.
And it's not even June yet.
That's what's awesome. And, you know, there's a lot of blockbusters coming out this year, as there is every year. Thing is, I thought last year was a great year for blockbusters, too.
I believe you.
This 2014 was a really great summer. You know, you had Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, you had Guardians of the Galaxy, you had Captain America 2, you had Godzilla, you had Edge of Tomorrow.
Wow, yeah, that is a pretty stacked summer.
Yeah, and they were all good movies. Like, that's...
Yeah, true.
That's the thing. But I think Fury Road eclipses all of them.
The last decade.
Yeah, like, it's pretty nuts. But let's talk about that more as we move on into spoilers for Mad Max Fury Road.
Sorry, can't say.
What's that word you use?
Spoilers.
I like that word.
All right, we are now doing spoilers for Mad Max Fury Road, and I guess we should start by describing the plot a little bit. So essentially, the plot of Fury Road is that Immortan Joe has sent Furiosa on this quest to get gas or oil or something.
Gasoline,
yeah. But Furiosa has other plans in mind.
Oh.
Furiosa uses the opportunity to take some of the women that have been used as Immortan Joe's wives, or breeders, I believe they're called in the movie.
Yeah.
And
it's even worse than wives.
Yeah. And so she takes them and gets them to use the opportunity to get them to safety. Along the way, they meet Mad Max, Rokitansky, and also Nicholas Holt's character, Nux. And they go on an adventure.
Yeah, basically.
And that's all I'll say. Go on an adventure. I think that's a good way to describe it.
That's pretty apt.
Yeah. I mean, it kind of glosses over all the horrible things that happened in the movie, but like...
Yeah.
So I did want to talk about Nicholas Holt's character, Nux, because I think he has a really interesting arc. And it's basically, like, the arc itself is bad guy turns into good guy.
Yeah.
But I think the way he goes about it, like, Nicholas Holt's performance is so good. And just the the way his character talks is really fascinating to me. Yeah. Like, the voice he's using and, like, the sort of, like, proper language that he's using, but also that feels very, like, slang-ish.
Yeah, like, so shiny and chrome.
Yeah, and, like, he's, like, like, you could tell he's, like, pure evil at the beginning of this movie.
Yes.
All he wants is, like, to please Immortan Joe and to be brought to the gates of Valhalla.
Right.
Which one of my favorite lines in the movie is when Immortan Joe is like, "I will bring you to the gates of Valhalla myself."
He's like, yes.
Like, basically using Mad Max as, like, a blood bag.
Yeah, literally.
Like, Max is, like, badly injured in, like, a fight, and he's like kidnapped, and he like Nux is like, I guess Nux is dying.
Yeah, I think sick. That's like all of them are dying.
Yeah. So he uses Max as like a blood bag. Like he puts a like needle in him and like has blood from Max come into him.
Yeah. He's high octane blood, they call it.
Yes. And so he latches Max onto the front of the car and starts chasing Furious.
Which is insane.
Yeah. There's so much crazy stuff that happens in this movie. There's a guy with a guitar on the front of a car who's just jamming out the entire time, and it's great.
Yes.
The soundtrack of this movie is awesome.
That's what I was going to say, too. The way that his guitar and the drums from the people on the back of the car that he's on, the way that fades, like, blends in and out of the actual score of the movie. Yeah. Is beautiful.
It's like, awesome, yeah.
Yeah.
And also, his guitar is a flamethrower. So there's that.
That too.
Just because.
So why not?
I would love to be the guy who hired that guy for that position. Really, like, so what are your skills, Mr. Johnson?
I'm proficient in flamethrower.
I'm proficient in flamethrowing guitars.
Done.
All right, good. We'll put you on the lead car.
I would love to be at the pitch meeting with George Miller. It's like, okay, guys, so... Or, like, the storyboard. It's like, we're going to have a guitar... Or we're going to have a car that's just speakers. There's going to be a guy strapped to the front of it with the flame-throwing guitar.
Yes. Oh, my God. Yeah, every frame of this movie looks like it could be, like, the greatest album cover of all time.
Oh, my God. That's so true. I think my favorite shot, which is in the trailers also, is when they're being attacked or by the guys on the swingy. I can't think of the...
Oh, like the poles?
Yeah, the poles.
Yeah.
And Max gets on one of them, and then as he's coming back, and like the bullet farmer, I think, or it's a gas tanker explodes, and he's just like in slow-mo. And this long arc on the top of a pole as every car behind him blows up. It's amazing. I want every frame of this movie printed out and on a poster.
Like, I want to paper my walls with stills from this movie.
Seriously.
But in any case, Nux is awesome.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's what we're talking about. And Nux has, like, this really interesting arc where he is, like, this basically a mindless slave to Immortan Joe. And keeps failing him.
Yeah, and repeatedly.
One of the girls takes pity on him. I think it's Zoe Kravitz's character. Might not be. I'm not really sure. But one of the girls takes pity on him and like kind of like nurses him back to health a little bit while like in secret while the rest of the crew is still trying to fight for their survival. And he ultimately sacrifices himself for the good of. Like, for the cause, for Imperator Furiosa and her people.
Yeah.
And, I felt like I saw that coming once the arc started making itself clear that he was going to turn into a good guy.
I mean, the whole War Boys mentality, like, they are the like, hyper-masculine desire for, like, death in combat. Yeah. Like, that guy suicides off the back of the truck with the grenade poles, like, earlier in the movie.
Yes,
and
it's true.
Like their highest, they want to die. That's like their whole point. So it becomes obvious that he'll do it for good. I mean, it's still a powerful moment.
Yes, but. Yeah. I think the moment itself works really well because he sacrifices himself for a different reason now.
Yeah, like exactly
for a real cause. It's a. It hit hard, man. I'm getting teary just thinking about it.
That's right.
Also, what I really liked about the ending, the way it sort of comes full circle with Max as a blood bag.
Yeah, that's true.
Because he begins the movie as Nux's blood bag, and then at the end he like does the same thing. He gives like puts the needle in his arm, puts the tube into Furiosa because she needs blood to survive.
She's bleeding out.
Like, that's basically Max's function in this movie, is just to be a blood bag.
Is to support everyone else.
Exactly, to support everyone else. He kind of just shows up, like, helps out, and leaves.
And then goes away.
Which is what he does in every movie. That's the thing. He does that in all the Mad Max movies, which is what I kind of like about that character. He kind of just like, all right.
Yeah.
He kind of just gets into scrapes and then heads on and does his own thing.
And I like you pointed out, too, it's not a, like, explicit setup for another movie.
Exactly. Which I didn't,
like, yeah, there's probably going to be more. Like,
it could be.
Because he walks away at the end. But, like, it doesn't leave plot points or, like, you know, there's no after credits thing. Like, it's complete. This movie by itself works.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I think, I'm not sure if there will be more. Like, George Miller has said that he wants to do more, and he has, like, an idea for another one. Actually, when he was writing this one, like, he discovered that he had enough story ideas for, like, two or three.
Okay.
And so he came out with, like, he, like, wrote a second script while he was writing this one as well.
Wow.
And so he has an idea ready to go. I think it would depend on how much this movie makes at the box office. I don't really know how it's doing.
Yeah, I haven't looked.
But I think it's doing solid. Like, it's not doing, like, amazing work.
I would assume it's making money.
Yeah, it's doing solid work. Like, I don't think it opened number one or anything, but it is, like, it's doing okay for itself.
Yeah.
And I hope it does make enough money to warrant a sequel, because I would really love to see George Miller come back to this world again.
Absolutely.
And yeah, like, thing is, if there's a sequel, I would want Furiosa to be in there. And she probably wouldn't be.
I don't know. She's in charge of the Citadel now, so.
That's true.
Like, she could be.
I guess. Yeah, no, I think, I would just want, like, a Furiosa spinoff, honestly. Like, we don't really need Max anymore.
We,
like,
don't Furiosa need Max, is, like, Mad Furiosa.
Yeah. Like, why not?
I'm down. Oh, wait, no, they did announce the sequel, didn't they?
They've said didn't that, they, I think George Miller said.
Title.
Yeah, there's a title. I think it's, like, Mad Max of the Wasteland or something like
the
that.
The Wasteland, yeah. But, so who knows?
Who knows, man? Who knows what will happen in this crazy world?
It's a bad, mad world.
It's a mad world. All around me are familiar faces. Worn out places.
Stop it.
Going nowhere.
Okay, thanks, Cat Steve. I hope that's who sings that, otherwise I'm an idiot.
Wait, who'd you say?
Cat Stevens.
That's Gary Jules.
God damn it.
And, actually, the cover is Gary Jules. The original is Tears for Fears. So you're wrong on both counts.
I'm wrong. I forget. Move on. Moving on.
Moving on. Yeah, back to Mad Max. So, yeah, I mean, is there anything else you want to talk about in spoilers, Mike?
I don't know. Not really. I want people to see this and
yes.
Be blown away.
Yes. I think, obviously, we're both pretty big fans of the movie. And we both recommend you see it. So,
so
I guess
that.
I guess that about wraps it up.
Yeah,
I think
so.
For our film bookcast today. So, Mike, where can we find more of your work on the internet this week?
You can find me on Twitter at twitter.com/mdfilmblog.
Yes, and you can find me on Twitter at twitter.com/msmithfilmblog, as well as filmbook.com, where you can find my podcast work, like, you could find Arrow and the Flash, but you can also find Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Walking Dead, Agent Carter, Gotham, and I'll be catching up on a lot of those over the summer. And you can find them on iTunes. They're also on iTunes. So they are.
Oh, yeah,
there.
We're on iTunes.
We are on iTunes. Film Bookcast is now on iTunes. You could enjoy it however you please. And we also will be coming back with the complete works starting next week, supposedly. We're going to try to anyway. So thank you guys so much for listening, and we will catch you on the flip side.
What? I just got an email from someone called God Boner.
I think you should take it.
What?